Hills. I enjoy good music, don't you? I'll tell you what, and one of them there, he got down in the basement on that one, didn't he, huh? I'll tell you what, thank the Lord. Send the light, that's what needs to be done, that's for sure. This morning, abundant hope, and let's ask God to bless. Now, Father, again, take this time, use it for your glory, and Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for the hope that we have today. May we understand it a little bit better because of this time together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, the Bible talks a lot about some different things that are abundant. And I think about the abundant things the Bible mentions. It mentions about abundant life. I'll tell you what, as a Christian, then's when you really begin to live. Amen. You know, as a Christian, I mean, I was born, but I'll tell you what, when I was born again, it gave me something worth living for. So I have abundant life. I have abundant life in Christ. I have abundant wisdom available to me, not saying that I got it, but there is abundant wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him go to Walmart and buy it. No. Let him ask of who? Of God. God has that wisdom, able to give us the wisdom. It's abundant. God knows everything. There's abundant joy. You know, we could have joy when there's all kinds of problems. Turn the news on, and they make you joyful. No, they don't, do they? But I'll tell you what, you read your Bible, you'll find joy. Now, this morning, we did a lot of reading in my Bible study here this morning in our Sunday school about how that God took care of people and how that God was abundant in so many different things. When I think about the Israelites, when they were so worried they weren't going to make it, and there the sea was in front of them, and then what happens? God said to Moses, he said, lift up the rod. He did, and what happened? They were able to cross over on dry ground. And then the Egyptians came after them, and God allowed the water to come back down upon them, killed them all, took care of them. I tell you what, there had to be some joy involved in that. I see how God takes care of us, and there's that abundant love. And no one loved me like Jesus loves me, and I thank God for his wonderful, abundant love. But there's something else this morning I want to talk to you about, and that's abundant hope. Abundant hope. And, you know, it's sad that many people don't realize all that we have in salvation. You know, I'm glad for the day I got saved, but I'm glad for everything I have in Jesus Christ. He walks with me. He talks with me. He's there all the time. He guides me. I can pray to him anywhere, anytime. And what a blessed thing it is to know him. But here's our problem. So many times we're so busy in this world that we don't even think about the abundance that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sad thing is that many times people do not understand what we're talking about, hope. Here in the Bible. Now, understand, you know, I think when we say I hope about something, we have this one idea that there's a hope, but there's also a thought in our minds that it might not come true. Let me illustrate a little bit about that. I get an email every day from this place called Grab a Gun. And what it is they sell, and I just like looking all the different ones they have and seeing what the prices are. Sometimes I have to wipe my drool from my chin as I'm looking at all those guns, and it's really interesting to me. Every day they send this. But they have a thing on here where you can sign up. They give a gun away every month. I shouldn't tell you because you might start doing it, and my chances are going to go down. And so they you sign up, and what it is, your email, you sign their newsletter there, and then you could do this, I think, six times a day, you could sign up. And on my phone, it remembers all my information, and I just push a button. I'm not a robot, and I push another one. I enter, and I'm entered into the drawing of a new gun. Now, you know what I do when I push that button? I hope I win. Y'all look at me like I'm greedy. You'd do the same thing if you wanted one. What do? I hope. I push that button. I hope that I'm going to win that gun. But you know what? With that hope, I also know this, but I probably won't. And I've been doing this for probably a year. You know, I push that button. Maybe I'm going to win. And you know, my wife, she goes, hey, you're never going to win that. And probably not, but I hope I do. That's usually the hope that we have. May you understand something that is not the hope that God is talking about. When I hope that I win that gun, I know in the back of my mind I have one chance against how many, probably hundreds of thousands of guys are filling that out all a couple times a day and sending that off in the email, and most likely they are not going to have, but I hope they do. And one of these days, I told my, you watch one of these days, it wouldn't be something I'm talking about in this, I mean, we're going to start a new month. They're going to, maybe they'll call my name. Let's pray right now, all righty? But we hope. You hope for things, don't you? You hope for that cake that you put in the oven that it turns out. You hope, you say, I really believe it will, but it may not. Because I put some ingredients that I really didn't have, but it looked like it. And so I put it in there. I'm not calling any names, but you talk to me after the service and a dollar, I'll tell you what I'm talking about. We hope for a nice day. I came in here on Wednesday night, and the air conditioner broke, and I thought, oh, no, you know, and I'm thinking Sunday it could get really hot. We've been having, you know, some really hot and humid days. And you know what I was hoping for? A beautiful day on Sunday. So maybe I might get that gun after all. Look what happened. If not, we could take an offering and make sure that I do get it, but we won't go there. But the thing is that you know, I was hoping for a nice day, but in my mind I thought, I hope it's really nice, but it might not be. But it's really good when you hope and things turn out. But always, there's the thought in the back of your mind, but maybe it won't happen. I'm wishing for a nice day. I'm like kind of like the rest of the year, let's just have a day like today. But it's not going to be. I hope so, but there's also the reality of, we may not have that. But the hope of the Bible is not like that. It's not hope so salvation. It's no so salvation because of the hope that we have. You see, our hope is based on Jesus Christ and his word. My hope, when I say, I've used the illustration of grab a gun, my hope is in that company of people I never met before. And I say, I hope I win, but I know I may not and probably won't. But when my hope is in Jesus Christ and his word, you take all the negative out of that. I hope I have that blessed hope that God's talking about. Hope is based upon the truth of Jesus. Hope is based upon the truth of his word. Our hope is knowing these things, how about this, that are going to happen. I have the hope of salvation. I know I have that right now. I have that hope of heaven. I'm not in heaven right now. But you know what? When I say I have the hope of heaven, there's not the negative like, well, maybe I won't make it. No, I have that blessed hope right now because of the word of God, because of Jesus Christ. So I want to talk to you about several different hopes here today. And I believe abundant hope. You see, we have abundant hope and eternal salvation. Go with me, and we'll look at scriptures about this because my hope is in what the Word of God says here. Go with me to the book of Titus. Book of Titus in chapter number 1. In Titus chapter number 1 and verse number 1 and 2, the Bible says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Now notice it, here it is, verse 2. In hope of what? In hope of eternal life. Well, I just hope I'm saying, no. In hope of eternal life, let's go on though, which God that cannot lie. You believe that? And then notice what it said, promised before the world began. Now think about this. We have a hope of eternal life. Again, it's not like, well, I hope so, but maybe it won't happen. In other words, eternal life, now get this, eternal life is a sure thing. You know, I'm not going to get to heaven and go, how'd I get here? Whoa, I didn't expect this. I expect when I wake up after, when I die, my eyes close in death, I believe that I'm going to wake up in heaven, amen? The other day when I was in the operating room, I'm laying there, I'm all wide awake. I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, I mean, I was gone. I looked up clock, 12 o'clock. And the next thing I know, I'm waking up in the recovery room, it's 1 o'clock. I'm like, it was like, wow, what happened here? Understand this. We're gonna wake up someday in heaven. And we don't need to be surprised because we have that hope. Not a hope of I hope I make it. No, I know I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did. Hope in the Bible means I have the guarantee of God and His Word. God has never let anyone down, and God's Word has never been found false. Amen. My hope is based on the Word of God, knowing what God has promised. That's what He said, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. You understand? God can't lie. He said, you come to me, I'll save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God said, you do that, I'll save you, I'll take you to heaven. So we have that blessed hope of salvation. You know, we know it when it's for someone else. You know, what do? We come to a funeral. Someone's been sick, they've gone through a lot of problems and troubles and trials, and what do? We stand there at the casket and we say, well, we know where they're at, right? They're a saved person. We know where they're at. And how many times we say this, and it's true, they're so much better off. That's that hope. There's no negative part of it. Well, I hope they did. There's the hope that if you're saved, you go to heaven. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. You see, God has promised. There's abundant hope in the promises of God. Go with me to Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4, verse number 16. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 16. Okay, that's not in chapter 3. It's in chapter 4, what I said. Chapter 4, verse number 16. Look what it says. Therefore... Yeah, here it is. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, and to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against, well, looky there, against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, I understand the story here is talking about Abraham. Remember that God had made Abraham a promise. Listen carefully now about the story. This is interesting and I think a great way to understand that God keeps his promises. But Abraham was given this promise by God. He told Abraham, he said, you're going to have a child be born. And I'm going to bless you. And he was going to multiply him in a mighty way. Abraham got that promise from God. Now, what did he have? He had that hope. Notice what we said there in verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope. He said, you know, I mean, it doesn't make sense. It made sense that God said, I'm going to give you a child. But what wasn't making sense was he was getting older and his wife was getting older. They were well beyond childbearing years. But they had a hope. They kind of were losing hope, weren't they? It's not going to happen. Did God give them that child? You see, there's that hope. What God said he will do, he will do. The promises of God. And so I like what it said there in verse number 17, the last part. It said, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And you know, I'm thinking, when God makes a promise, he's on both sides of the promise. He said, what do you mean? He's at the beginning of the promise and he's at the end of the promise. He said, Abraham, the beginning of the promise, I'm going to bless you with a child. God was there. Was God there to bring it to come to pass? Hello? Yes. God was there and brought it to pass. And Abraham, what happens? They have that child that God gave to them. And Abraham, he understood that what God said he was going to do. Now, wait a minute. What happens? All of a sudden, God says to Abraham, I want you to offer your son as a sacrifice. Wait a minute. This is the son that God promised to bless all generations, multiply the people, and even go right down to the lineage, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, and the Lord said, I want you to offer your son as a sacrifice. Why, this seems ridiculous. But he did, didn't he, offer his son. He got Isaac together, got everything together there, and said, come on, we're going. They went down there, and Isaac says, Daddy, he says, I see that we have the wood. We've got everything that we need, but where is the sacrifice? What did Abraham say? He said, God will provide. How did he know God would provide? Because way back yonder, God said, Abraham, I am going to bless you with a child who's going to multiply millions of people. I'm going to do that for you. God gave him that. God was at the beginning and God was at the end. Abraham goes up there with a blessed hope. He goes there. He raises that knife up. But what happened? God stopped him and God had a ram. Why? Because God is good to his promises. What God promises, he'll follow through. I'm telling you right now, you go through this blessed Bible, get the dust off of it and open it up and go to this blessed book and start reading about the promises and understand God means what he says and what God promises, he'll carry through. Abundant promises of God. Abraham was not, well, I just hope everything works out all right. I mean, think about it. He took his son, the one that God said was going to be the blessing, his son, to offer him a sacrifice. I believe Abraham had this. He had faith in God. He had hope in God, and he knew that God was going to take care of things. His hope had no negative in it. Neither should ours. Neither should ours. You see, Abraham was not wishful thinking, but he hoped in the promise of God. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I begin to think, what is the substance? It hits me. It's the Word of God. My faith is in a substance. Say, my faith is in this blessed book. Amen. You know, you see everybody say, well, you know, I just believe it's the best translation. No, it is God's Word. I'm not joining up with these other folks. You know, I get stuff in the mail. People drop stuff off. And I'm telling you, I'm not joining up with stuff when they don't believe that this is God's word, every bit of it. It's not the best translation. It is God's word. And God has made us promises. This, in this book here, is why we have hope. There's no reason for the negative part of the hope that we have. Like, I hope I win that. But I have the hope of salvation. You see people sometimes when we talk to them out today about salvation, they go, well, I just hope I'm going to heaven. I just hope if you die today, you go to heaven. Well, I hope so. You know what their hope is? That's what I want, but maybe not. You see the difference? I say, I have the hope of salvation. They go, oh, you don't know? No, I have the hope of salvation, no negative part of it. It's based on Jesus Christ and his word. It's a sure thing. The promises of God are abundant. There's abundant hope in the glory of God. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in what? In what? In hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in, oh my, tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Oh, boy, we need that sometimes, don't we? But what works? What brings this? Tribulation worketh patience. Verse 4, and patience experience. Experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know, we all suffer from time to time, don't we? We have troubles and trials. You know, one minute you're feeling good, the next minute you're not. Everything's fine, and then it's not. You're driving along, and the car's doing really well, and all of a sudden, the transmission goes out. Wheel falls off, flat tire. Things sometimes don't go so good. But understand that what tribulations are, and I'm not saying really a flat tire is a tribulation. That's kind of just a bump in the road. But you know what it does? It also brings us patience. And that patience brings us experience. And you know what God said? And experience brings us hope. It's kind of like this. The more I believe God and trust him, and then I go through troubles and trials and know that he's still there, allows me to have some patience and just undergirds the hope that I have in him. I know we go through troubles and tribulations, but God helps us through that, doesn't he? Some of you have gone through some very difficult things in life. If you were to be honest and give some testimony, you give some sad stories probably in your life. But you know what? I believe that God's saying, hey, this will all bring you to this place of understanding the hope that you can have in me. You see, hope requires patience. And our problem is we're a people that want everything now. We want everything now. But you know what? We can't always have everything now. But we have that blessed hope that God's still there and God still takes care of us. You know, it's suffering sometimes is scary, no doubt about it. But you see what God's trying to do? He's trying to help us with this. Let's see here if I have the right verse for it. No, I don't have the. Go back to chapter number 4 and verse number 17. Look what it says here. Go to Romans chapter 8. Well, you weren't doing anything. Go over there. Romans 8:16. You'll be old someday. Look what it says. Verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Isn't that great? That we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we... suffer, how? With him, that we may be also glorified together. You know, there'll be suffering, but the thing is, we don't suffer alone. We suffer with him. God knows what you're going through. Aren't you glad for that? God knows. God goes with you through it. You know, sometimes we go through the valley, but he's there. Sometimes we're on the mountaintop, but he's there. I'll tell you right now, you may not know where you're at, but wherever you're at, he's there. And he wants to be with you. Suffering is scary sometimes. But did you read what it said there, that we'd be glorified? Also, the last part, verse 17 there in chapter 8, that we may be also glorified together. Glorified together. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. We don't need to be ashamed with that hope that we have, and we have in Jesus. And, think about this. God is so good at taking care of us that even when we don't know how to pray, he helps us. You say, what are you talking about? Well, you're there in Romans chapter 8. Go to verse number 24. The Bible says, for we are saved by hope. Not like you want to, I hope I win. But that blessed hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know, God says, you know, I love you so much and I'm going to help you even when you don't know how to pray. The Spirit of God helps us to pray. Isn't that wonderful? And what a wonderful God, abundant hope that we have in him, abundant hope of the glory of God, but also the abundant hope of fruitfulness of God's word. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. First Corinthians chapter number 9. You're going to go home today feeling like you sat on the back porch, huh? With the wind and the breeze coming through. Man, oh man, what a beautiful day. Romans chapter number 5. And no bugs, amen? At least not too many. What did I say? 1 Corinthians, didn't I? 1 Corinthians 9, and let's go to verse number 10. The Bible says here, it says, or saith he it altogether, for our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in what? Hope. And that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of this hope. You say, preacher, what are you talking about here? I believe we're talking about in the ministry of God's work, the ministry that God calls us in, the work that God has us to do. Now, sometimes he calls people to be preachers or evangelists, something like that. I understand missionaries, but God has a work for all of us. Now, in that calling that God has given to us, we have also the promise of fruitfulness. Now, you know who gives the fruit? God does. You know, oftentimes we think about the fruit, it's something on our effort of what we do. But he talked there about the plowing with that hope. My hope is in God. I know that God gives the increase. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, verse number 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. You know, sometimes we lose hope in the fruitfulness of God's word. We lose hope because we don't see things happening right now. You know, I said that one day. I was in the doctor's office and they were doing my blood pressure, and my blood pressure is way up. Always does. You go into the doctor's office, just say doctor and my blood pressure goes up. And I was in there and it went up really high, and I'm sitting there and they said, all right, Mark, just think nice thoughts. I'm thinking, I can't stand that doctor. I went out of the doctor's office and I'm trying to have nice thoughts. I'm starting to think, okay, the sky is blue, the clouds are white, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know. And I'm looking, I'm saying, Lord, please let my blood pressure be normal. They come in there, pump that thing up, you know. Aren't you glad they don't put it around your neck? They pump that thing up there, and all of a sudden I start feeling that thump, thump, thump again, and then my blood pressure goes up when I start feeling it. And a lady goes, well, it's not doing much. Let's give you a few more minutes. And I'm thinking, you know, God, I just prayed. God, I just pray. You know what I wanted? I wanted just then. But sometimes it doesn't happen that way, does it? But I found out God was still there. I'm impatient, but my hope is in him. You say, preacher, well, you know, sometimes we get sick and God heals us and takes care of us and we get well. Praise the Lord. Some people do not. But there's still that hope. That blessed hope in Jesus Christ. That hope of absent from the body is present with the Lord. In this room are quite a few people who used to be with us. And they're not here. And I miss them. I really do. I think about them so many times and I miss them. And I think, boy, I wish they were here. But they're not. But I'll tell you what. Thank the Lord for that blessed hope that they had in Jesus Christ. That there's some of our church members right now. They're having church in heaven. Amen. They don't even need to have screens on the windows there because there's no bugs. That blessed hope that we have and the fruit that God gives us. You know, a story is told about a man one time. He used to go to a street corner and pass out tracts all the time. Every day he'd go out there and he'd pass out tracts to people, pass them out. And he started getting a little discouraged because not very many people took him. He never heard of anybody getting saved. And he got a little discouraged and he said, well, what's the use? And so he decided one day, because of not seeing the fruit, he quit. He said, what's the use? People were walking by, and one man was a saved man. He walked by and he thought, yeah, that man's not here anymore. That man used to pass out tracts all the time. He's not here. I wonder what happened to him. So he began to look, and he found out what happened, and he found that the man had got discouraged. He said, you know what? If he won't go out there, I will. So he got him some tracks, and he went on that same corner. He starts passing out tracks, and some people take them, some not. He's not hearing much, and all of a sudden, a guy walks up to him and says, hey, where's that guy who used to pass out tracks? He said, well, he got a little discouraged, and he quit. He said, oh, man, he goes, I came by here the first time I came by. He handed me a tract. I went home and I read it and I asked Jesus to save me. This man said that several people within that week came up and asked, where was the guy who used to be here? Why, he gave me a track and I got saved. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't know what God may be doing in your life, but have that hope of fruitfulness, knowing that God will bring fruit. You can't quit. You can't give up. You know, I think about when I do the radio broadcast, I think, does anybody listen? I go in that little room and I preach the sermon. I'll do it this week. I'll get sermons for this next month. And I'll put out there and I'll preach those sermons. Sometimes I wonder. And then I run into people who say, I listened to you on the radio. The sermon audio. I go and I upload the sermons on sermon audio. It may not mean too much to you because you get to hear them, but there's people actually all over the world that listen to sermon audio. I put it out there on the bulletin board each month for you to see. Since we started doing it, 3,500 people have downloaded sermons that we've preached in this room. There's only a small crowd here, but there's 3,500 people. I don't know who they all are, but on there, if you go down through it, it'll tell you how many states where people have clicked on there and listened to the sermons, and how many, get this one, how many foreign countries have done the same thing. And with the internet, it goes out everywhere. Same thing with the radio. We're on WVGV, and when I preached on that one time, someone called from Alaska and said that they heard that message. Understand, folks, we may not see everything, but I know this, there's that blessed hope that we have in Jesus when it comes to the fruitfulness too. I don't know. We've gone through thousands, tens of thousands of tracts from our church that have gone out. And I know sometimes you wonder, has anybody ever read them? I mean, tell you something. I believe this with all my heart because of the hope that I have that God will give fruit for being faithful. And I believe one of these days we get to heaven, we're going to see some people in heaven because some tracts were given out. Just this morning, Sunday school, Ann was sharing with us about her and Dave. It was a tract. One of our tracts someone gave them. And they came to church. You know, God's faithful. God gives an increase. God gives us, I believe, that blessing there. We must never lose hope in the fruitfulness of God's word. I think about the sermons on sermon audio. I think about the kids that graduated from our school. Thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for the people that have gotten saved and people have come to this church and gotten saved. People have gotten saved because we witnessed to them. You see, we can't give up because God made a promise that he would bless the hope that we have in him. Let me give you one last thing, and that's the hope of his calling. The hope of his calling. Go with me to Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 17. And we'll look at the two verses, 17 and 18, the hope of his calling. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You know, there's the hope in his calling. God has something for us to do. God has something for us to do. God doesn't call us all to do the same thing, but God calls all of us to do something. And there's that hope. There's that hope. It's not that I hope I win. It's that hope because of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. You know, sometimes we have this idea that bigger is better, don't we? Yeah. Bigger is better. I look at that cake and you know what piece I want? The bigger one. But then I find out, oh, I wish I wouldn't have ate that. Not very often, but I have had times like that. Bigger is not always better. Do you know what? Those things that maybe no one else knows about, God knows about it. That calling that God has given. Sometimes I think people just want to be noticed, but that's not what it's all about. You know, the Bible tells us about a story about a little widow. She had two mites. Two mites. That's barely anything. And she cast it in the offering. And you know what God said? Well, I'll read to you. Mark 12, 43 and 44. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow Did you notice poor? Poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. God said, little widow, I saw what you gave. You may have dropped a check in the offering plate today. God saw that. But God saw those little kids downstairs that said, can I have money for offering? And you gave them some change. You stingy people, give them paper. Money, not just piece of paper. Or if you want to write a check out, they'll do that in junior church too. But, you know, you put that little money in there, and those little kids, that little plate comes by, and they put that money in. Do you know Jesus knows about that? He knows that little deed that you did for someone else. Sometimes it's just that phone call. Sometimes it's just that word of encouragement. Sometimes it's doing something for someone else. Sometimes it's something that no one else will know about. But God does. God does not despise small things. You know, we're a small church out in the country here, aren't we? And it wouldn't hurt my feelings if it was a big church. It wouldn't hurt my feelings at all. Now, some of you may be scared of that. That's not scary. I grew up in a church, you know, 10,000, 12,000, 15,000 people, and it wasn't scary. But we're a small church, but small things matter to God too. God knew about our church back home, but he knew there was a boy in that church that he wanted to pastor. He called me to preach, and I'm here in a little place, and I'll be honest with you, sometimes I wonder, anyone know? God knows. God knows about us. The Bible says in Zechariah 4:10, for who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the land of Zerubbabel. With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Think about it. Things don't have to be big. They just need to be of God. They just need to be of God. Oh, that blessed hope of knowing that we're doing what God wants us to do. I have that hope of God's blessings. Not that I hope, but maybe it won't happen, knowing that God will. And we have that hope in Jesus Christ. I think I said last time, last one. One more last one. You didn't know I had two last ones. Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. I promise you the last. Let me see. Yes, the last one. Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, who? Jesus Christ. You know, thank the Lord for that abundant hope in Jesus. Our hope is in Him. I'm glad I know Jesus is my Savior. I'm glad I have that blessed hope. I know who He is. I know what He's all about. And I know that that hope that I have in Him doesn't have question marks. I know that whatever God said, that He will do. I don't know what's going to happen on election day. I hope. But I don't know. Hillary's still out there. No telling what might happen. I don't know. But I know this. God will still be on the throne. God's still on the throne. God's still on. He's coming one of these days soon. This Bible will still be true. Think about this. Even if Bernie would have won, the Bible would still be true and God would still be on the throne. That's the hope we have. You say, what if? Yeah, what if that? But wait a minute, my hope is not Republican, Democrat. My hope is in, now I'm rooting for one. If you're not sure what it is, it starts with the word Republican. But anyways, I'm rooting for one and I'm hoping so, but here's the thing. I also know it may not happen, but I do know this. All these promises are kept. It's true. And there's not one man in this world that could sit in the White House that has kept all of his promises. But I have that blessed hope in Jesus Christ. Are you saved today? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior?
life.
Not today's the day of salvation. Today's the day to be saved. Today's the day to know you're going to heaven. Because all that hope that is available is not hope that you can have if you're not saved. You can't have that. Your hope is, I hope I win. Maybe they'll call me and tell me I won that. I hope someday that God will bring me up to heaven. No, if that's what you kind of hope you have, you'll wake up in hell. But the blessed hope is, when I close my eyes in death, I will open them in heaven. Blessed, wonderful, abundant hope in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Oh, God, I pray you'll speak to our hearts. Help us understand what we have in you, that blessed hope. I pray this morning we might understand a little bit more what this hope we're talking about. I know we talk to people today, they hope to go to heaven. It's like they just hope so, but they're not sure. But I'm glad that my hope is in you and in this blessed Bible here today. But Lord, there may be somebody here today, they say, well, I hope I go to heaven. Lord, may they have that blessed hope, rather than that hope with maybe in it. Thank you, Lord, that salvation is something we can know. If there's someone here not saved, pray you save them. I pray for those that are saved, God, that you would work on their hearts, and Lord, use them. Help us understand what we have in you, that blessed hope, knowing that you will bless us, you'll take care of us, you'll keep every promise. Thank you, Lord. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, maybe here this morning you're not saved, you need to trust Christ as your Savior. I wonder if there'd be anyone here this morning said, preacher, you know, I've sat in church here for a while, and you know, but I'm just not positive about heaven. I'm afraid if I die, I hope I go to heaven, but I have that negative part there. I'm not sure. Dear friend, you can have that hope that passes all understanding, that hope of knowing what God said he'd do, he will do. I wonder if anyone here this morning said, preacher, if I died, I don't know I go to heaven, but I'd like to know it. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up, anyone? Anyone this morning, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved, but I'd like to know it. Christian, this morning, has God spoken to your heart? Maybe you've gotten discouraged. Maybe you thought, you know, I tried real hard, but it just seems like things aren't working out. Notice that God, that hope is in him. He said, preacher, I've really not seen the fruit. You may not see it, but God knows about it, and God promised it. It will be. I really believe when we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised at, if we'll really give our lives for the Lord here, we'll be surprised in heaven what really happened, the real results. I believe there's going to be a lot of people in heaven because folks from Heritage Baptist Church gave them a tract. Talked to them one night. Talked to them at work. You left a tract at a restaurant for a lady. Hey, when we get to heaven someday, you might see those folks there. So don't be discouraged. You have that blessed hope. God promised it, and God keeps all his promises. God spoke to your heart this morning. The altar's open. Father, bless now. Have your will and way. If there's somebody here not saved, pray you save them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.